not ashamed. That's what I'm talking about. Even though what happened this week, I'm still not ashamed of you. Understand this, there are good and bad. There's good Christians and there's bad Christians. And I'm not ashamed to say I'm a Christian. So let's keep that in mind. When I talk about pride, that's what I'm talking about. Amen?
Got a couple things I got to do, but I do want to share this real quick while she's going to head up the next thing. Miss Vicki handed me a note in which, as of today, and there are some more boxes to be packed. Teams are going to Genesis.
And Miss Vicki, I don't think I got a chance to tell you there's another 66. Coming. Okay, so add that to your number. So that's darn close to 400, right?
Hallelujah. Who's? No, I need my antenna. I think that's mine, or is that Katie's? Okay. Yeah, she's got mine. I'm just falling apart this morning. You'll have to forgive me. Yeah, and for those of you who don't know, I don't normally dress like this, but I just couldn't resist. So, it's not every day Veterans Day actually falls on the Sunday, so I thought, you know, I walk in, Pat's wearing his Vietnam veteran hat, I thought, I'm good. I should have called you Harold. All right.
Mr. Patrick, would you come forward, and Mr. Harold, and Pastor, come up onto the stage, please. Please come up to the stage. We've got fabulous prizes for you. Mr. Patrick Grosch served in Vietnam in the Army, in the U.S. Army. Harold served in Vietnam in the U.S. Army. Pastor Art served during Desert Storm era. In the United States Marine Corps. They are our honored brothers. We cannot thank you enough. Nothing we can give you, nothing we can say is enough. But we're going to try every single year and every single day and time we see you to live a life that's worthy of what you laid down for us. Thank you. Thank you. And we do have some special things and some very special things to give them. Mr. Harold, this is for you. Mr. Patrick. And Pastor Art, there's a little something in there. Maybe you can go enjoy lunch or a snack, just depending on just how, expensive your taste is at the moment. A little something in there for that. Also on order are books that I just believe the Holy Spirit led me to order for you. Yours, the two that I got for you guys were written by Green Berets. And they are spiritual books, though. They're about being spiritual warriors. And they look really, really good. And Pastor Art, yours have to deal specifically with spiritual warfare because you're leading us and you're leading us through all of this. And I just trust that that will be a blessing to you as well. This is the really special part. And the person who made these did not want to be recognized. He said, this is not about me, this is about them, but this is what makes it special to you. These pens were made by hand, handcrafted for you by Mr. Joe Rule. And they have the colors that would represent your branch of service. And we just thank you and pray that every time you use them, you know how much we love you. Appreciate you. Let's give them a stand.
Group hug. Okay. And do we have an extra one real quick?
Yes.
I want to give it to Tia.
Yes.
Now, we did not know, Tia, I'd like you to come up. We did not know that she was going to be here today. Her husband, how many years did he serve in the Marines?
Nine.
Yeah. See, that blows my mind. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He did 9.5 years on active duty in the Marine Corps and wanted to spend some more time with his family, and so they moved back to Ohio where he joined the Air National Guard, and he's now in Kuwait. He got deployed a couple weeks ago, and so what I'm going to do is present this to you when he gets home. Give it to him. Thank you.
So, we've got another job to ask y'all to help with this year again, and that is we have envelopes with money in them for veterans, again, to maybe get lunch or something like that, just a very little thing to say thank you. We're doing it just a little different than last year. Last year, we had a pre-printed thank you from the church. Well, this year, you get to fill out your card. And you get to share your sentiments with the veteran that you choose. And you just be led by the Holy Spirit. Maybe you want to fill it out to a relative that you have, a family member. That is awesome. Or maybe you want to fill it out and just hold on to it and say, Lord, the next veteran I see, let me bless them. But that's totally up to you. The way we'd like to start this is if one person from each household would come forward to receive one, and then whatever we have left, we'll just keep on keeping on till they're all able to be handed out. Thank you. In
my bag. Be the easiest way for me to do it. I guess I'm just going to have to start handing out because we ain't got enough room up here for everybody. I'm going to start right here with Miss Vicky. Like we said, just remember to, you guys want to take that for me? Thank you. To take the time to write something personal in there. Like I said, it can be a family member. We've actually had people give them to family members, and people were greatly grateful for what was done for them. So I'm just going to stand right here, and I'm hoping we got enough. Because I got a lot to.
two. I got two and 10 people left. We can get more. They make new money every day. We will get more. We did buy the store out the other day of all their Veterans Day cards, though. So, but you know, if you didn't get one, you still want to do that, let us know. We will get you a card and some cash to do that. Okay, at this time, because I know Genesis is packing boxes, and Junior Church and Genesis are dismissed. Okay. How many of you know what hope is? Most of us know what hope is, don't we? I hope that happens. It's one of the most misused words next to awesome in our vernacular. Because we really don't understand the importance of hope. See, hope is something that you are seriously looking to. It's something at the end of whatever it is, you know, nearly 30 years ago, 29 years ago, my hope on July 26, 1989 was that by October 20th, I would be a Marine. It was a hope. It wasn't a guarantee. It was a hope that if I did everything right and I didn't get hurt, that on that day I would graduate. So you have an expected end. That is essentially what hope is. We got lots of scripture that talk about hope. Proverbs talks about hope. David talked about hope. Don't put your hope. David called hope in a strong horse is vain. Because no matter how strong the horse is, he can't protect you, even with all of his strength. And people who put their hope, they wrap their hope up in a political party or in a candidate, or they wrap their hope up in something other than God, not realizing that God is the final say in everything. Well, I don't believe God would let this happen. God didn't let it happen. You did. God put us in charge. Now, there are things, as I've told you before, we're not going to change, because there are things that have to take place in order for prophecy to come to pass. No matter what Peter did, no matter how many servants he cut the ears off of, Jesus was going to be crucified. Peter's hope was that it wouldn't happen, because Peter obviously didn't understand. He had a hearing, but he didn't have an understanding of what Jesus had been telling him. Many times, we look at things around us. We're so focused on our jobs. And when we lose our job, we get knocked sideways, don't we? I remember when we first moved back, man, I'd already been stabbed in the back a couple times down in North Carolina with a couple jobs I had that just, oh my goodness. I thought, God, why did I even stay there? Why didn't I just, as soon as I found out, just leave? But I stayed because that's what I was taught to do. Well, I will tell you now, I've told my boys, when you get stabbed in the back once, start looking on a job. Because they're going to stab you again because they can do it. Well, you got to take what I'm given. No, I don't. I'm not your doormat. And that's the mentality we taught people. You got to take what they're given. No, go out and start your own business. That's my opinion. Go out and start your own business. You do not have to take abuse. You are not people's doormat. But so anyhow, when we moved back, boy, I got this great job. I mean, I had been making $5 an hour in North Carolina, and whoo, doggy. And they told, oh yeah, it's cheaper down here. Hogwash. I don't know where they got it was cheaper living down there, but it was not. And so anyhow, we got back, and man, money's coming in good, as much overtime as I want. I mean, I'm making big bucks. And come along, here comes November, we're just running along, and I'm thinking about what all I'm going to get my wife and my new son for Christmas and all this. And then like 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, they hand me a pink slip. Factory's shutting down. And they never reopened. You talk about getting knocked sideways. I'm like, okay, I only have this much money in savings, and I have this much life to go. Well, it didn't take long, as you know. Savings went, pfft, it was done. And, you know, it didn't, and, you know, my unemployment finally kicked in. You know, but anybody's ever had to go on unemployment knows it doesn't cover everything. And then you got to pay taxes on top of that. So it's like, okay, yeah, we're not doing well. God took care of us. Don't get me wrong. God took care of us. I learned to trust God even greater than. We had no insurance. We had no real money coming in. And we had probably the worst winter that Ohio had seen for a while. I know for 2 weeks solid, I walked around because I decided, well, I can't. I right now just waiting, looking for jobs. And so I went hunting. And for 2 weeks, I walked around in knee-deep snow. That had not happened for a long time. And by the way, I didn't get a deer either. A lot of walking. But my hope was being tested. I had an expected end that I wanted from God. Everything I did, ultimately, I had wanted to be self-employed. Ultimately. I didn't want to keep working for somebody else telling me what to do all the time. And even to being self-employed now, I will tell you there are times that you look back and say, boy, why can't I just have something where somebody else takes the butt chewing or somebody else has to carry the weight or this or that. There's advantages. One of the advantages I've always joked about is that, you know, if I go to work and the boss is in a bad mood, I can tell him to go home until his attitude gets better and not get fired. I told that to my platoon sergeant when he asked me if I was going to re-enlist. And I said, no, Sergeant Moore, I really don't want to. Because I said, when I come to work and my boss is in a bad mood, or he's a jerk, I can tell him he's a jerk and I ain't going to go to jail for it. He never asked me if I was going to re-enlist again. But Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. I'm sorry I'm out of order back there, Brian, but it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Hope, an expected end. When your hope, your vision, your dreams are deferred, when they're put off, you're running along. Man, I got this coming. Here comes Christmas. Boy, I'm gonna bless my wife. Because you can ask her up to that point, man, we had really not done a whole lot of Christmas gifts. I mean, she bought me a hammer 1 year, which, you know, was all we could afford. I bought her, man, don't ever make this mistake. Don't ever buy your wife flannel pajamas. Don't do it. Bad, bad idea. I bought her flannel pajamas our first year. There was nobody around to tell me any different. I regretted those flannel pajamas. But anyhow, yeah, just bad news. But we bought things like that. We had maybe $20 is what we had to spend. And that was really saving because things were not what they had appeared. And so that year I was looking forward to doing it. And that didn't happen. So we just kind of ended up doing a few different things. And, you know, I can tell you what we learned was it's not about the gifts. It really isn't. And I come across as a Grinch, and there's reasons for it, and I'm working on it. My family has informed me that for Carter's sake, I have to change. So, I still will not listen to Christmas music in July, though, just so you know. Unless it's August Burns Red, their version of Carol of the Bells. So when we get our hope delayed, when what we're running for is not showing up, or worse yet, what we were running for does not even happen. Well, that's not what happens. We lose our center. We lose everything around us. What's it mean when it says it makes the heart sick? There's one word that should be used there. Actually, a new phrase. It'll bring depression. That's what people deal with. When their hopes do not come to pass, they become depressed. I called a friend the other night. He'd been on my mind. I called him up. I wanted to pick his mind about, you know, deer hunting. And he said, I haven't even really been out. And this was a total Holy Spirit moment. I said, are you okay? You got to understand, this man hunts. He lives to hunt now. He lives to fish. He lives to hunt. He's got 5 or 6 mounted deer head in his living room. Turkeys and coyotes and all kinds of stuff in his living room. And even a bear skin. And when he said, I haven't been hunting, I'm like, okay, you've missed nearly a month of bow hunting. And this is what, he doesn't gun hunt. He bow hunts. He lives to do this. And I asked him, I said, are you okay? And he said, not really. I said, well, what's going on? I knew some of his health issues. He said, my wife wants a divorce. I said, whoa. I said, I did not see that coming. He said, neither did I. And for 2 months, he's been dealing with it. You need to understand, this is a man who already deals with depression. The last time something like this happened to him, he hit the bottom. He went back to drugs, to alcohol, to doing what unsaved people do. Normal. He went back to this, but the Holy Spirit spoke up in me and said, you need to get off the bottom right now and you need to get in a tree stand. I said, you need to get back to a normal part of your life. Quit looking at your problems. Just because this happened does not mean it's the end. I need you to understand, he's tried to kill himself with this lifestyle. And the Holy Spirit was speaking through me to tell him this stuff. And before we got done, he asked me if I knew somebody. I said, yeah, I know so-and-so. I rode with him a couple times. He said, well, his son killed himself last week. Those of you, he's from Fredericktown. And I'm like, oh, man. I mean, that's got to be devastating. I said, is there any inkling why? And he said, none that I've heard. Well, I have since found out the boy's girlfriend broke up with him. Young men and young women, let me tell you right now, there is no man or woman on this planet worth taking your life for. None. If you ain't figured it out, there are 7 billion of us on this planet. They don't want you. Tough. Yeah, you're going to get a little heartbroken. You'll get over it. I speak from experience. Suck it up, buttercup. You'll be okay. It's not joyful at the moment, but you got to keep moving. You got to keep getting back in with your normal life. And so, you know, when you see people like that, why? Why do people kill themselves? Because they give up hope. The Thousand Oaks shooter, Ian Long, U.S. Marine, PTSD sufferer, gave up hope. By the way, did you know his wife divorced him while he was deployed? Yeah. See, we're not, you're just getting little bits of this. But what I'm telling you, folks, is he gave up hope. Nobody around him could give him hope. Because without Jesus Christ, there is no hope. You're giving them empty promises. Well, it'll just all be better. Time does not make anything better. It dulls the pain a little. But you need to be able to move beyond a dull pain. Doctor asks you, oh, does that hurt anymore? Well, it's no longer a sharp pain, but it's a dull pain. Pain is pain. It's a discomfort. It's something. You need Jesus Christ in your life to heal what has taken place. Many of us in here have been down through this road. We've been hurt. Many divorces, many betrayals. You've got to get back up, and you've got to start loving again. Jeremiah 29:11. God's talking to the prophet and he says, I know the plans I have for you. I know the thoughts that I have for you. To give you a future and a hope. The word in there means an expected end. God says, I know what I think of you. I know the plans. And they're to give you an expected end. If God is giving you hope, then you have hope that you can stand on. But if your hopes are just to be whatever you want to be, sometimes your plans don't line up with God's. My plans were never to come back to Ohio and become a pastor. I mentioned the first part. Never to come back to Ohio. God gave me an anchor in Ohio. I couldn't get away from Ohio, even when I took her away. And God said, oh, you guys are staying in North Carolina. I'm like, yes, don't have to go back to Ohio. A year and a half after into that, God says, all right, you're going back to Ohio. Excuse me, God? My plans were not God's plans. To tell you how God worked it, and when I knew that it was a God thing, I'm like, God, I'm moving back. I don't have a job. I've got a good job. This guy offered me a supervisor's position to stay. You talk about making people mad. He worked, most of his family worked for him. I was the junior man on the totem pole, and he was going to make me their boss. That would have went over well. The week before we had the truck rented, we had everything in place, and the week before we were to come home, I get a phone call, and the guy says, hey, this is Kevin. Do you think you can come in for an interview? I said, well, yeah, I can come in for an interview. He said, when can you be here? I said, well, I'm not going to be in Ohio until Tuesday. He said, all right, I'll see you Wednesday. Wednesday? Or maybe it was Wednesday, Thursday, but got in there. I went down. I am not qualified to paint. I'm painting buses. This is the position they got open. I'm like, I can change the tires. I can work on the motor. I can do all kinds of stuff. But I painted primer on fuel tanks on motorcycles, and I ran that. I am not qualified. But I did my other little interviews where I needed to, and then I went down and interviewed with the main supervisor. And you know how God lines things up. I'm sitting in there, and here's this guy, he's an old Vietnam vet, Captain Don Fulmer. And he looked at my resume and saw what I could and really couldn't do. And he looked and said, well, you're a Marine. You'll figure it out. You don't know Marines real well, do you? That's why we have this little saying called it's Marine proof. That's the military version of it's idiot proof. Okay? We're not known for our intelligence. Bravery, yes. Intelligence, no. But he said, you'll figure it out. You're hired. Really? I got a job? Yeah. God had it all lined up and had everything in place. See, that's what happens when you trust him. Because we did. We said, God, because people are like, why are you moving? She's 6 months pregnant. That's a long drive with a six-month pregnant woman driving your moving truck, pulling your car with a two-year-old beagle in the truck. And she was wired for sound, let me tell you. Thank God for tranquilizers. She slept most of the way home. And I drove that whole trip. But to tell you, that was a smooth trip. We pull in, we unloaded. Bob and Karen had the family there. Man, they unloaded our stuff. Boom, we got that truck back the next morning. And rest, well, here we are 20-some years later. Had it not been for God, our hope would have been deferred. We'd have gone into depression. Oh, God, what are we going to do? What? I mean, the first place we had, Karen had gone in and cleaned it up, but it was a tiny little trailer. I don't think it was much longer than this stage. It was a tiny trailer. We walk in there to the master bedroom, and we're like, our bed won't fit. I mean, it would go end to end and side to side. You just got to crawl over the footboard. I knew somebody else that had a trailer like it's like, you got to turn sideways, go like this. Maybe turn around to sit down. But it was that old of a trailer, and we're like, oh, yeah. She's like, nope, 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 nope. She's like, I can't even get down the hallway. Notice? I'm not making it down the hallway. So we moved all of our stuff into a storage, her grandpa's barn for a little bit, and praise God, he opened up a place that we lived in until we bought our first house. But when people give up hope, just as the Thousand Oaks shooter, just as my friend, just as his young boy in Fredericktown, they can no longer see the truth. He was 17. Thinks his life's over because a girl dumped him. 17, your life ain't even begun, Bubba. And the reason is we give up hope. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us, now abide faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest, it's not going to come up here, but the greatest of these is love. Angela had a revelation the other day. I began sharing with her some things and was talking to her about some of these other things. You know, I forget who she mentioned, just said God gave this guy somebody a reason that he turned his life around. Well, I've told you before, I didn't turn my life around for me. I didn't turn my life around because I was such a great Christian and I wanted to serve God so mightily. I didn't care. Do you understand? I did not care. I turned my life around because of her. That's why I repented. And man, God, she just kind of got this revelation. And as she's sitting there and she said, you know, I had almost lost all faith in God. I grew up in the church. I've told you this before. Grew up in the church. I've seen pastors and preachers manipulate people. I've heard board members talk about everybody and their brother in the church. I've seen decisions. I've seen arguments. I've seen fights. I've seen church split. I've seen churches close. I've seen pastors run off with secretaries. It's not a good thing. And when God told me to be a pastor, I'm like, no. My last pastor said he wouldn't wish this on his worst enemy. And so, as a young man, I joined the Marine Corps to get away from God, to get away from people. And as I got to seeing stuff, I realized there was much more to it. I was borderline losing my faith. But the trigger that pushed me to actually call the recruiter was I lost hope. I had no hope. I was supposed to start a good job the day after graduation. A good job that was going to lead me right into my career. I was going to be an electrician. I wanted to work on towers and high lines. My schooling would have been paid for. And I was told, don't show up. We gave the job to the boss's son, who was lazy, didn't know anything. He hadn't worked with anybody in the company like I had for the last 2 years. I worked with my dad setting poles, digging trenches, and stuff like that the company did. While I was out there working, he was at home. And so I gave up hope. Oh, by the way, did I mention my girlfriend had broke up with me? Which was not a bad thing because 2 days after I enlisted, her and I got to talk and, here we are. But I'd lost hope and I started looking elsewhere. I'd thought about suicide. I walked out in the field with the shotgun. I was going to do it. I'm walking around and I started feeling sorry for myself. What happened? Where's my life going? God, what is the deal? Why is everybody else's lives on track? Why are they going places? Why is things happening? And here I am. I've done everything that everybody has told me to do, and nothing is going the way that it's supposed to. Well, God had a different plan than everybody else had thought. My dad threatened me with the military. I'll take you and drop you off at the recruiters. You do know they won't take me, right? They can't send you out that day. This isn't wartime. They aren't going to just shave my head and send me to the front. They have to check and make sure I'm a U.S. citizen. They got to check all this stuff. It ain't going to happen. And so then things started going south from there. And I got depressed. Didn't know what, because I didn't feel depressed. Depressed is when you're not happy. There, did that help you out? And sometimes it's harder to shake than you think. And I've realized that. A couple years ago, I told Angela, I said, I just didn't care if I lived or died. Another good reason to get rid of the motorcycle. When you don't care if you live or die, you don't need to be riding two wheels at 100 miles an hour. And let me tell you, it's scary. What happens is we lose sight of the hope that we're supposed to have. So I'd lost just about faith in God, faith in man. All you can forget that. I had no faith in the church and church leadership. None whatsoever. I knew what they did behind closed doors. I knew what they did in their homes. I knew how they talked to their children, how they treated their children. Nobody deserves to get treated like that. To this day, the one particular person I'm thinking of will not serve God. He knows he should. I've told him. He's my friend. I said, brother, you got to get your life turned back around. But Angela pointed something out the other day. The Bible says the greatest of these is love. Do you know why I turned it around? Because I loved her greater than all the dream stealers. With every person that made fun of me, every person that thought they were better than me. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have no clue because maybe you were the bully. Well, let's pray that you realize it and you ask God to forgive you, because when you're a bully and you destroy people's dreams and their hopes, I know, and you're talking about all this bullying stuff, hey, we're going into Me Too. Listen, it's gone around. I'm not saying we camp out on it and stay here. I'm saying we get healing from God. You know why God had to send me to the Marine Corps? Because that's how bad I was. I could have probably went to the Boy Scouts if it hadn't been for all the people who were close to me who tore me down. So God had to send me someplace where they really tore me down, but they built me back up, something that the people that tore me down before never did. Being torn down is one thing, but if they're not there to help build you up, you failed. I became an instructor back in 2000, an instructor for a group called the Young Marines. It's basically a Boy Scout type group, but with a Marine Corps flavor. We put them through boot camp. It was kind of fun. I really enjoyed being a drill instructor, which was my next step if I had stayed in the Marine Corps. I told Angela, I said, I wouldn't mind going to Paris Island, go on that side of recruit training. Because I was good at marching, really good. And we started having kids. Judges started ordering kids to come. We started taking kids that had major problems. And the problem is most of the people there didn't have a clue on how to handle them. We had oppositional defiant kids, wouldn't take their medicine, threw fits. Do you know who got them to take their medicine? It wasn't the nurse. The nurse didn't know what to do because the kid was bigger than her. He was bigger than me. I lost my voice that day. But he walked, took his medicine. Oh, he threw somebody else's pen over in the woods. He went over and had to find an ink pen in the woods. You talk about a needle in a haystack. But I didn't give up on this kid, you understand? Just because I had to correct him at that moment did not mean that I stayed on his back. The guy who was our CEO, he did. He messed up. He wasn't cut out for it either. But I'm not saying that to build me up, to brag on me. I'm saying that because God had showed me that if you tear people down, you got to get in there and get past the garbage that they're protecting. You got to help them build up. You got to encourage them. You've got to build up some confidence in them, in their abilities. If they don't have the confidence in themselves, they're going to go out in life and they're not going to know how to do anything. They will remain in your basement playing video games. That's kind of the whole thing for today, right? 30-year-olds living in the basements playing video games. That's what's wrong. Nobody, so maybe they tried to correct them as little and they just acted out. Instead of continuing to correct and then build up, they just corrected. They tore them down. And most of them, folks, they get their, most child-rearing discipline ideologies come from the Bible. Spare the rod. The rod is good for the back, side. And matter of fact, I recommend if you're going to swat your child, you make a paddle, and that's the only thing you ever use. Do not use your hand. One, it hurts. You. Two, you never want your hand to be the sign of discipline to your child. Never. Make a paddle. And use it with control. Don't be one of these parents that just grabs your child by the arm and starts wailing. Wrong-o. That's abuse. God does not grab you by the arm and wear you out until he's tired, does he? You do know God won't get tired. Yeah, thank God. We'd all be dancing around. Isn't this the pose? Y'all remember it. Trying to high-step the switch. See, when discipline's not administered properly, you'll also crush people's dreams. You'll crush them. You'll crush their spirit. You know what? God does not want to crush your spirit. The spirit's what he put inside of you. I'm getting so sick and tired of the church saying, well, you need to be like my pastor. I don't want you to be like me. I know me. You do not want to be like me. You want to be like who God created you. You are a unique person. You can have five or six siblings, and none of you are going to be the same. You'll have similarities, but you will not be the same. So many people have lost sight of who they are, what they were created for. And if you were, if you're still thinking, well, I'm just created to just take up a spot, you need to get outside of yourself. Well, we need to do this, 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 and this, and this. Well, hello. Do it. Well, I don't know how. Find somebody who does. What do you want to do? You want to help people in a clothing closet. Find a clothing closet and work with them. A ministry that helps people with that. There's all kinds of things. Well, Pastor, where's our clothing closet? We donate cash so that they can buy new clothes. I'm not going to take up valuable space inside the building for stinky clothes. We have ministries in this county who do this. By the way, they're non-denominational. They have no church association. There's all kinds of ministries like this. The church does not need to reinvent the wheel. That's my opinion. If the wheel works, why am I trying to make it not work? Well, I got to control it. See, there we go into the whole control thing of the church. I don't want the church controlling the government. You know what happens when a church controls the government? You got the same garbage. I want God in charge of the government. See, God can move those people around. But hope. Hope is the thing that we keep moving for. Hope is why we get up, those of us in this realm that I'm about to talk about, Why, we get up before the sun is even thinking of cracking. We take a shower in soap that removes all scent of being a human being. And we put on cold clothes because we stored them outside over the night. And we grab our bow. And we go traipsing out through the dark, walking into trees, falling into holes, because we can't see where we're going. We climb up a ladder that we can't see and hope to God that when we sit down, we're on the seat. That's why I bought a double one. Mine's this wide. I can't miss the seat. And we hope that a deer is going to come within our range. I ain't going to lie. You want to work on your faith about hope? Take up deer hunting. Any deer hunters? Can I get an amen from you? You know what I'm talking about. The deer aren't guaranteed to walk down the trail. And the one you've been watching all summer grow into this mighty big buck, the neighbor down the road harvested him. He got him last night. I saw this big old 10-point rack Amish boy got the other day. Big, big buck. Beautiful. Got me all, guess where I'm going this afternoon? I'm going to go out and freeze. But I've got extra good long johns this go around. If you will keep your hope, folks, you got to keep your hope first off in Christ. Because our plans fall through, do they not? Time and time again. Well, that's not what I was hoping would happen. How many did you ever do? That's one of those moments that says, here, watch this. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's the old redneck famous last saying. Watch this. It's usually, that's not what I was hoping would happen. That would be the more universal term. Because we weren't expecting something to happen. We weren't expecting the tree limb to break while we were swinging out over top of a gorge. How many of you, so many of us in here have lived through garbage like this. I've swung out over big old creek things off of grapevines that we cut free, and the grapevines pull out of the tops of the trees. So not only did you hit the ground from the height up here, but now you were over 20 feet over top, and we survived. Why? Because God had a hope for us. Now, just put it that way. He had a plan, an expected end for us. And it was not for me to die in the bottom of a creek bed from my own stupidity. If you will hold on to that hope, I'm going to continue talking next week on more in this line of faith, hope, and love and things of that nature. Because I want you folks, we're coming into a season where people start giving up hope. Listen, I need you to understand this. Christmas is a pagan holiday. Don't think anything different. It is. We can decorate it up, call it Jesus' birthday all we want. It is still a pagan holiday. Do I care? No. I really don't care. I'm not celebrating it for that reason. I want to get my family gifts. They want to decorate a tree. They can do it. They want to run my electric bill up with all the lights on the house. I will fight just a little. But in the end, folks, people look at this. They wrap themselves up. Well, I can't go home for Thanksgiving. Well, you know what? If you can't be there, you know something I learned while I was deployed? I spent Thanksgiving in the Philippines. I spent Christmas in the Philippines. You know what I did? I spent those holidays with the people that were there with me. Instead of, I ate roasted pig right out of the ground on Christmas Day. Across from my executive officer, who I had never seen the entire time I was down there until that day. And you want to talk, I'm just a lowly old PFC, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, there's a major sitting in front of me. Can I put my elbows on the table? You know what I found out? He was just like me. Just a little older, in college degree. But he was just like me. He was missing his kids. And you know what that did? That relieved the depression. So many people, I knew guys that, they got to Okinawa, and 2 weeks later, oh, man, they're filing for hardship waivers and stuff so they can go back. I'm like, seriously, dude, I've been here over a year. You've been here 2 weeks, and you're already whining? Get out. Nothing's going to change if you just keep holding up and say, well, I can't do anything. Well, realize there's more life out there than your little world's going on right there. You'll get through the deployment okay. You'll be all right. You'll get through this situation okay. But you got to have your faith in God. By the way, I didn't ever stop loving God. I need you to understand that. I've lost faith in the church, in religion. I'm done with religion. I didn't lose my trust in God, because it was only by God's grace that I even lived. I've shared with you before several times that I could have died, should have died. Something that was supposed to have happened just did not happen. And I wouldn't be here. But what I had was a trust in God, that no matter what I did, no matter how stupid I was, he was going to watch out for me. So if you know somebody, listen, and here's what I'm learning. If God's been putting somebody on your heart, and you're like, man, why am I thinking about this person? Call him. This guy's been on my heart for 2 weeks. I need to call him. Just never could find the time. I said, you know, I'm stopping. I'm calling him. I told him, I said, I'm going to pray for you. And I said, and then I'm going to call you every so often, just out of the blue, until you are either through this thing, you guys have either reconciled whatever happened, whatever reasons, you guys have gotten this stuff squared away, or, and by the way, he's talking to his pastor. He goes to church, because that's one thing I asked him. I said, are you still going to church? Yes, sir, I am. That's all I need to know. I meet with my pastor once a week, and we talk. But I'm like, you know what? Sometimes you just need somebody who's not your pastor. So I'm going to call you, and I'm going to harass you. You're about 3 miles down the road from me. I can get there quicker than he can. I'll beat on your doors. You showed me how to get in your house. I can get in your house. You aren't going to hide. You're going to find hope. So this holiday season, let's remember that when we see people sitting around and they're miserable and hope, feel free to tell them they got to do something. They can't just sit there. They've got to rise up and find that hope again. For me, you know, I've told you, shared it all. My reason for losing hope, I didn't have a job and I didn't have a girlfriend. Do you know what happened when I got in God's will? I got a job and I got a girlfriend. Ta-da! Problem solved. I got to travel the world. Then I got to spend a lot of time away from her. Talk about trusting God. But I'm just telling you, folks, there's people who are legitimately hurting and others that just need... That's all it takes sometimes. And I'm not talking about physically touching them, hitting them. Okay, just, I know there's some of you just like to do that, but you can't. Sometimes God just needs to speak through you to them to get their attention. And if you'll do that, you just minister to somebody. And that's the whole point of us. Collective organizations is not the purpose of the church. Ministering life to the dying world is the purpose. Amen? All right, let's stand. And, you know, again, with those cards, folks, just ask God who he wants you to give it to, and then think about what he would have you to say to them. You know, I know... Well, all this thanking veterans really did not come about until the last 15 years or so. That's when it really started kicking in. I need you to understand something. The Vietnam era and the people up until this point never got thanked. It wasn't good. Even though I was not Vietnam era, I was treated just like them. They still saw us as baby killers, which these guys didn't do that. And if you want to get technical, look in your Bible, and God told them to kill the babies too. There was a reason, but we're not into that today. A lot of these guys, especially Vietnam era, never got thanked. I talked to a guy the other day. I was getting permission to hunt. And, I've got at least one article that has an Eagle, Globe, and Anchor on it. It just happened. I became one of those. Every hat, every shirt, I got jackets. And the guy told me, he said, I was in the Army. And I said, judge on your age, you were Vietnam, weren't you? He said, yeah. I said, welcome home. See, Desert Shield, people sat in the desert. You need to understand something about Desert Shield. They sat in the desert. They sat. They got ticker tape parade. You didn't know about the people that were still deployed. It was just a few that came home through New York City who did nothing. I'm not tearing down what they did or did not do. I'm just telling you, I know what they did. I went to one of the units that went through that. Like, seriously, and you guys are belly aching while the rest of us got squat? And we did more work than you did? Problem. But not jealous of them. Really don't, because I didn't come back and have to worry about kids growing third arms and weird stuff happening. But what I'm saying is, pray. God will give you the words to write down on that to the right person. So many people just did not receive it. And it takes a while to heal. If you think I'm kidding, you can ask any Vietnam veteran who Anoi Jane is. Because some of them haven't forgiven her. And they need to. They're still stuck. And this helps the healing process. Amen? All right. Well, we'll pray and I'll bless you. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful, Father, for your word, for your presence here today, Lord. I pray, Father, that as each one of us is going about our week yet, Father, that we, if we've lost hope, if we've lost sight of the expected end you have for us, Father, that you will remind us, you will revive us in that hope, Father, that we may not lose sight of what you have for us, that we are loved, and that we are precious in your sight. Father, I pray now against any depression setting in on anybody. Father, as a matter of fact, I curse it in Jesus' name. Father, I pray life and peace now in their minds and their hearts, Father, that they will hold on to it and that they will not let this thing overpower them and overtake them. And now, Father, I do thank you for these people. Father, I pray that as they go out their jobs this week, that you bless them. Father, that you create opportunities for them to not only share your love, but also to be restored in their hope of their faith. Father, I thank you and praise you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to.
Should have been down home yesterday.
Oh, yeah?